So I'm here with Anna Thomas at Brewlab to talk about how to drink wine like a wanker. So Anna, could you tell us a little bit about your show?
Absolutely. It's quite a personal show. So the title's probably a little satirical, maybe, and a bit whimsical. But it really actually tells the story of the last 12 months of my life, where I went from being a giant corporate sellout to a woman pretending she knew something about wine and running a wine tour company. And all the, I guess, the intricacies behind that web of deceit and trying to cope with the life that I'd changed from where I was to where I became. And of course, during it, I managed to become a wine wanker.
Right. Okay. And how has the transfer from being a sort of corporate person to, I suppose, working in art been for you, and what's changed?
Yeah, it was very interesting process. So as I cover in my show, I went through a tragic situation, and it led me to leave my job. And at that time, I was also building a business with my husband, so we just needed more income. So I suddenly went into this sort of, I found I could pick up wine tours and I could act my way through, and I could memorize reviews of wine and pretend that I had skill that I didn't have at all. And as a part of that, I started being quite inspired about writing about the ridiculous people I met on these tours. And there were just some complete... Oh, can I swear? I was about to say, fuckwits.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And I started writing about that, and I found it quite funny. But then the more I started exploring the idea, I realized that there was quite a lovely narrative and a more serious narrative as why a woman would leave being the general manager of an international company and pretend to do wine tours. And I decided to unfold that into my story. And that experience led me to going, you know, whether it will work or not, I think it's a story worth telling. And so I just took a risk and put it out there at the Adelaide Fringe this year. And by sheer luck, I guess, I don't know how it happened, but I sold out every show. Put on extra shows and sold those out as well, and was nominated for a few awards and had this incredible experience where people really resonated with my story. And it was not necessarily a story that everyone loved, but everyone really enjoyed, I guess, the contradictions within it and the battle within yourself and that self-discovery.
When I talk to people about the Fringe Festival that aren't in the theatre, I do sometimes describe it a bit like a market fair, a marketplace, where you're taking out a product and testing it, and you see what sticks and whether it's worth peddling later on. So I'm interested by this, you know, you've come from the corporate to the art world, but, you know, now you're here at the Fringe Festival, which is a very corporate arts festival. And, you know, have you felt any kind of parallels from this corporate world and your new artistic endeavours and being here?
Oh, that's such a good question. Absolutely. It's interesting looking at the value of what you do to whether or not people receive it, because you're suddenly measured by whether people like you. Like your show, whether or not you have ticket sales. And I kind of feel like that's almost against the concept of art, or what I feel art is. But the business woman in me, that business head, switches on and tries to go, okay, what's the most successful way I can make this work so that it's not a loss and also a wonderful experience? And I do find, and I struggle with the self-promotion of it all, because I want it just to exist. Whether it's successful or not, it should just exist as some art that I put out there in the world. But it can only exist if you achieve sales, and that concept of ticket sales is ruthless and almost unforgiving. And it's in my first day and a half of being here, I've walked around and just felt completely overwhelmed by the, I guess, what's required to make it work, which is so different from what you want your art to be. Yeah.
And was there were you a writer or into arts and performance before you went into the corporate world? So is this like a sort of coming back?
Yeah. It's a ridiculous self story, actually. So I've always loved the arts. I was studying at uni. I went to go into art, and my parents, I was a poor country kid, so they said I had to get a normal degree. So I went and did that first, and then I was trying out for NIDA, and then very surprisingly my daughter came along, so I suddenly had to follow a corporate career. I had to do something to make sure we survived, because I became a single mum quite early. So I sort of just gunned this career, and I acted part-time, and I was doing, you know, amateur shows and occasionally ads and TV and bits and pieces. But as my corporate career grew, and therefore I guess the level of life choice that my daughter had changed, I realised I needed to focus on that and not the arts. So instead I just got involved in supporting arts in Adelaide. So I worked with Joanne Hartstone and Guy Masterson, and I'd host different actors every Fringe. They'd stay with me for free during the Fringe. So Gavin Robinson stayed with me a lot of times, and some of the Bunker Trilogy guys from and Belt Up and things like that. And then during that sort of time, I just got involved in, you know, helping them promote stuff or running venues or, you know, any of those things. And I did that for about 8 years. And in the background, I just kept writing, just kept putting ideas down. But slowly, my career just kept growing to the point where I feel like I became a robot. And I really just focused on making money until a moment of, which I tell in the story, a moment of tragedy sort of happened. And the reality behind, I could be replaced by anybody within a second. And all the hours I put into this work that I was doing didn't mean anything, because I'm just a commodity. And that was the moment that sort of changed my life. And I went, well, then I want to move back into art, because at least my commodity, I own it, and I get the benefit of controlling that commodity.
So, you know, the corporate world, as I say, it's there to, you do it to earn money, to capital, to kind of support yourself in that way, and then you move into the art world. Do you think that art, theatre, comedy can make a difference?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's really interesting you ask that. I've just recently, I don't know if you've watched Hannah Gatsby's Nanette, but I do think it can make a difference, and I actually think there might be a social responsibility for it now. And yes, I think sometimes it's all going, you know, all of the coverage of Trump, for example, is kind of ridiculous, and it's becoming ludicrous that art's focusing in certain areas. But I actually think there is a social responsibility that we have an ability, that if we've got the power to communicate and I guess allow ideas to be explored, that we should work with that. Because otherwise, nobody has a conversation. And people only talk about what interests them unless someone else presents a different idea, I think.
So one last question. So your show that is on what time?
8 o'clock from the 11th to the 27th at Zoo Venues.
Okay, and what is, how do you hope the audiences will leave that show, or what will they take with it?
I'm really hoping they leave feeling, oh, that's a great question. How do I want them to feel? Because it's quite a tumultuous story, I hope they have a really enjoyable time. They have fun with the concept and the ridiculousness of what happened. But I also really hope it just opens up the idea of people suffer loss, not necessarily without ever talking about it, and that it has this conversation that maybe, if I was honest, there's an underlying story about the secret biological plight of women that nobody allows a conversation about, and maybe it's time to have that conversation. That it's not even a battle of feminism, it's about the fact that equality in this world is only allowed based on the rules that are already written, and it's time to change that.
Thank you very much. So this is How to Drink Wine Like a Wanker.
I hope you can join me.